Welcome to my new podcast. Today's guest is Jules, a second-year law student in National University of Singapore. Jules is also the singer in the years of bands Remy and the Reds and Reto Jello. Hello, Jules.
Hi, Gio.
Welcome to my new podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, you're in law school, right?
Yes, I am. No hesitation. I am in law school.
Okay, that's a spirit. So, why do you choose to go to law school?
I never planned to go to law school, honestly. It was like never an option on the tables when I was like in JC. I actually wanted to study PPE, you know, philosophy, politics, and economics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I applied overseas to the UK and I did get into the unis, like the unis I wanted to get into in the UK, but I just... it's really expensive to study overseas. So, yeah. And then I got back my A-level results. Then at first, okay, before I got back my results, I was like, okay, I think I should study business. Yeah. But then, you know, I realized that I could study something with a higher, like, grade requirement. And, you know, typical Singaporeans, it's like, you know, if you can reach for something better, then you would just reach for it.
And better in terms of grades.
Exactly. So I just went for it. Yeah. And I thought law school would have... Okay, I'd never considered medicine because I don't want to help people in the future. Like, okay, come on. Most of the people who go to med school, they are either like super passionate about people or money. I went to law school because I thought the intellectual rigor in law school would be something I would enjoy. I thought that it had the perfect balance of science and humanities. Not everyone would think that law is quite scientific, but it actually is very logical. It has a lot of like reasoning and deduction processes in law school that you learn, you pick up a lot of like skills on how to logically break down certain cases or how to work around issues, which I thought would have been a lot less dry than maybe doing science or finance, which, yeah, you just deal with numbers, but in law, you deal with people. You deal with ethics, philosophy, policies. So I thought that was very interesting and it's, yeah, more suitable for someone like me who enjoys both science and humanities.
I see. So you pick law so that you can interact with people.
Interact with people? Okay, I wouldn't say that was my primary motive to going to school. I don't really like the law school people that much. except for the people in Yusof and a select group of friends. But surprisingly, I've talked to a couple of my friends in law school and I'm not the only one who has this mindset. All of us go to school, right? Wait, what the fuck am I saying? Of course we go to school. When we go to school, we automatically dislike everyone around us because there's just this pompous air.
In everyone?
The air is different in law school. Okay, it's different. It's toxic to me and to the people I've talked to. And like, I don't know. It's okay, this is just my personal opinion. I should not like... Wait, no, I shouldn't speak on behalf of other law students. But yeah, I personally feel that law school is not a very welcoming or hospitable place. Yeah, so I mainly just go there because I enjoy the subject. Yeah. It's something new. It's not something I've learned in JC before. And yeah, I'm in law school. I don't know why. I genuinely don't know. I'm saying all these reasons, but these are reasons I discovered like after I experienced law school. But honestly, prior to entering law school,
you didn't even know anything.
I didn't even know anything. And I just went in quite blindly, as did everyone else. But yeah.
I mean, like, they don't really teach you law in school, right? You learn about the humanities, you learn about the sciences, and then you come to uni thinking that, oh yeah, I'm going to go here because reasons that may or may not even involve that I learned this in school, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
like, it's an absolute like clean slate for everyone. No one really knows what they're getting into when they just enter law school. Yeah.
Interesting. So... you mentioned that you learn all those things about law when you go to law school itself. So, what did you actually learn in law school? Like, what subjects did you learn that made you come to that conclusion?
Okay, substantive content-wise, I learned about, like, tort law. So, it involves a lot of civil liability, learning about, you know, one person being liable to another for a wrong they've done to another person. Mm. So, you know, like getting into car accidents, like employer-employee relationships, vicarious liability, those type of situations. And yeah, you learn a lot of like really niche, what did I learn, honestly? Okay.
That's the most I've loved in the podcast.
Okay, I didn't do very well for tort law. That was the first law mod I did, like, properly in year one. And I was playing them heart and horn in year one. So I was not really focusing in school that much. Yeah, so yeah, you get introduced to statutes, of course. Like, you know, the provisions in the law, what you're legally allowed to do and not allowed to do. But you also learn how to apply the statutes to actual situations. And you learn a lot about how the courts reason, how they come to their judgment. So besides just applying the law, because we only have like a fixed number of laws and we have to apply it to so many situations. So when you study, we get cases to read as homework. And the cases can range from like 20 to maybe like 100 pages.
Oh, wow.
And the longer ones usually involve more contentious issues with the law. So maybe there's a statute that has a very broad scope for interpretation. And the courts are, the judges, they're usually split on how to decide, you know, like how to interpret the statute or how to even apply the statute. So when you read the judgments, you basically just get to see how judges reason. And yeah, that's it. That's the whole like logical deduction thing. But I guess the most intellectually rigorous part would be just you making your own decisions, because you can read the judges' judgments, their rationales, but ultimately those are just the judges' opinions. When it comes to the exam, you can't like borrow opinions necessarily. You have to come to your own conclusions and form your own opinions. So yeah.
So basically, it's like how the judges do it themselves, right? Like they just look at what precedents are there and then they just say, oh yeah, so here's what I think based on the precedents, right? That's how the entire field works, right?
They don't rely so... I mean, yes, they do rely on precedents. That's like the whole point of common law. But they don't rely solely on precedents. They have to adapt those precedents to the current situation, and when there are gaps, they need to exercise their own discretion and judgments. So it's very different from like the rote learning all Singaporean kids are used to in JC. I can't speak for poly kids. I'm pretty sure they get to use their brain more than JC kids, honestly. But yeah, in JC, I was so used to just absorbing content and regurgitating it during the exam. But it's really different in law school because you actually need to form your own opinions. And yeah, it's different altogether.
It's different. I see. So earlier you mentioned about statutes and provisions. So what's the difference between those two?
So a statute could be like a rule from a constitution, a written law passed by a legislative body. But a provision is, I guess, under the umbrella of statute, because provisions are, I guess, actions or like smaller clauses within these statutes that provide for certain situations. Yeah, like if you read the penal code, that is statutory law. But within the statute, there are provisions such as maybe harassment. Wait, no, not harassment. No, harassment. Oh my God, that's a different statute altogether for harassment. Okay, but yeah, maybe like stalking. Or assault or battery. So there are specific provisions for each of those crimes.
I see. So provisions are for certain actions only.
I guess so. Provisions are within statutes.
Okay. Thank you for the information.
I'm not a very good law student. This is Gio. You shouldn't be asking me these questions.
Hey, listeners of the podcast, standard disclaimer.
Please take everything I say with a grain of salt because I am a struggling law student. And yes, that's all. This is not legal advice.
Yes, this is totally not legal advice. And same goes for all my guest stars and even myself. Please don't trust everything we say. Do your own research, especially with me. I'm just an audio engineer, but I have to talk about law and other stuff with people. So don't trust me, okay? I'm just an audio engineer, an amateur one at that. Anyway, how does a court analyze cases?
Oh, Gio. Why do you ask me these questions?
Because you mentioned that you learned this.
How a court analyzes a case?
Yeah.
There are so many. This is such a broad question. I mean, it depends on what kind of case it is. Is it a civil case or like a criminal case? Because there are different procedures for each of those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to get too much into detail on like the differences in procedure. But I guess the main gist is that each side will have a lawyer. Mm-hmm. A lawyer, or in the case of criminal law, there'll be a prosecutor, public prosecutor for, I guess, the victim. Mm. And the accused will have a lawyer usually.
Mm.
So the procedure for criminal law is really complex. Like, there's a lot of cross exchanges. There are disclosure conferences when they want to like share certain evidence with each other and maybe discuss the case and try to resolve it without going to litigation. But usually there will be legal aid for each side. Mm. And if you go to court, each side will just battle it out by whoever is able to reason, whoever has the best repository of like case law to back up their stance. Yeah, whichever side just argues better and can sway the judge or understands the judge's personality better, because Singapore's legal community is really small. So when I did my criminal law internship, it's very common for like my bosses to talk to each other like, oh, you're getting this judge for your case, why he's damn like this. So
wow. Yeah,
everyone's actually quite acquainted with each other. It's quite scary. So yeah, that's why all these defense lawyers try to get on the good side of like
the prosecutors. Every other lawyer in Singapore.
Yeah, so that, you know, they can just be nicer to them in court. Yeah,
I mean, it's a small country. It's a small world.
It is a small world. It's a very small legal community.
Interesting.
And the court, I mean, the judges, they ultimately listen to what these lawyers have to say. And based on their own research and research based on what like the lawyers have presented, they will like cross-check.
Hmm.
And then they will come to their own decisions.
I see.
Yeah. So there's not so much onus on the judges to like bring in evidence. That's the job of the lawyers. Mm. Like, yeah. And I guess the police to gather evidence and to interpret previous case law. And yeah, the judge, I guess, has the arguably easier job of merely exercising his judgment, what he thinks is fair, objectively or subjectively. Yeah, it's just their job to interpret and apply.
So, why is it easier then compared to a lawyer who also does the same thing, but it's one-sided?
I mean, if the defense lawyer, I guess in the case of like criminal law, if they usually get the short end of the stick lah, because the accused probably did something wrong for this whole thing to be brought to court in the first place.
Yeah.
So, oftentimes, it's very difficult for them to maybe acquit their client completely or to even cast their client in a good, favorable light so that the judgment will be in their favor.
I see.
Yeah, usually, I don't know, my boss told me that most of the time he's just trying to mitigate the sentence for his client because the charge is pretty like certain or stacked against his client. So he will just try to find factors that will help to mitigate his sentence and cast him in a more favorable light. Yeah. So it's quite difficult. Yeah. It's usually the judge who has, I guess, in my opinion, the easier job because they just need to hear both sides and then see which side is more convincing and then decide accordingly.
I see. But the lawyer's job is harder because they are the ones who have to convince the judge.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's really difficult. And, you know, a lot of pressure is on the lawyers because their reputation is on the line. They still get paid even if they lose, but building reputation as a defense lawyer is very important because we have such a small community in Singapore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you are not a good lawyer, then you get disbarred and boom, your income is gone. Right?
I don't think you get disbarred so easily unless you do something like hit your employees. Like, what's his name? I forgot his name. There was one lawyer who like made his junior associate like kowtow to him or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They got disbarred.
Yeah. The entertainment lawyer. I forgot his name. Samuel Siao. Yeah. Samuel Siao. Yeah.
Interesting.
You can read about that in newspapers.
Okay. Hey, Philo Geo, please research about this because I don't even know any of this.
Yeah, no. This is just for the people listening. Go look it up. It's quite interesting.
I see. So, I assume you did like this roles in the mock court when you're in law school?
I only did it once for one of my mods called LARC, Legal Analysis and Research.
Mm.
Yeah, I really hated it.
Oh.
I freaking hate mooting.
What is mooting actually?
Oh, sorry. I forgot you asked the question. Okay. In the case of moots, it's usually two parties, each representing opposing sides. They come together and they simulate an actual court where they just argue for their client's position. Yeah, and attempt to convince the judge to decide in their favor.
Hmm.
So it's really just a simulation of real court. Yeah.
I see.
I will tell you about my mooting examination that happened earlier this year. Yeah, the end of year one. So at the end of my legal research module, we have this like 30% mooting exam. So my prof brought in like his lawyer colleagues, some of whom were actual judges. And he made us like moot with other classes in front of these judges.
Oh.
No pressure at all. Yeah.
Like totally no pressure at all or...
It was a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. Yeah. So honestly, right, we did a mock moot session before our actual exam. And I did pretty well for the mock moot session.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. But it goes downhill from there because I did really badly for my actual moot. Yeah. So for my actual moot, it just went wrong in all ways possible, always imaginable. And actually, at first, I didn't think it was that bad until they gave feedback at the end. Okay, so let me just talk about who my opponent was. My opponent, okay, I didn't really know her beforehand. Everyone usually like liaises with their partner beforehand, I guess. Mm-hmm. Some people did that. It's a bit unscrupulous, but like, yeah, some law students do that. I didn't know who she was. And she seemed really sweet, really nice. And then when she actually went to present her stand and all that stuff, I thought her mood was so bad because she was just like repeating points without really being able to like reason why she had this stance, or she wasn't able to rebut some of the points I brought up, which, you know, preemptively countered some of the points that she had raised when she mooted, because I mooted first. Yeah. And then when the judges like questioned her, she just kept repeating the same thing. Like, she was so insistent that she was right. And she just kept repeating the same thing. Then I was like, wow, okay, that's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But they loved it at the end. They were like, you stood your ground. And I was like, what the heck? Like, she just kept repeating her point. And they were praising her for it. And she wasn't able to like bring in new evidence. Yeah. Or like, I don't know. She wasn't able to support her point very well. But she just kept insisting it. And the judges just loved it. They like kissed her ass. They were like, wow, you are so insistent. And sometimes it's good to just be insistent and like stand your ground when people are trying to sway your point. Which, I mean, I understand. But I don't know. Something feels a bit off. You know, it's difficult for there to be like a fixed criteria to examine a moot. Because each judge has their own like criteria of what is good or what is persuasive.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you can just stand there and repeat the same thing and I guess you can get an A. I mean, she ended up as a dean's lister, so I mean...
Congrats to her.
Congrats to her. That sounded so salty. No, I like... Okay. She's a smart girl. Yeah, she deserved it. But yeah, it wasn't a very pleasant experience for me. Generally also because they asked me questions which I would not have had been able to anticipate.
Hmm.
I mean, you do your best to anticipate what the judges can ask you and then try to, you know, preempt and then respond.
Hmm.
But they asked me questions which were so like off tangent.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of clammed up and it just wasn't a good experience. So yeah, my mood didn't do very well. But it's okay. It was my first mood. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to take it as a learning experience.
Interesting. So I guess your mooting style is different from like your opponent, right? So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Everyone has their own mooting style.
So yeah, the judges just happen to like your opponent's style more, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how I see it, honestly. Yeah. So you've been in law school for like more than a year already at this point. So how was that 1 year like? Does it get easier after like a year of like adapting to what law is like and so on?
It definitely gets easier. For if there are any year one law students listening, it gets easier, definitely. Okay, actually, no. That was a sweeping statement. It does. Okay, it gets easier in the sense that you sort of understand what you're doing better. Mm-hmm. You understand yourself better. Law school is a self-discovery journey. You understand what your studying method is like.
Mm.
You understand how you pick up information, how you absorb information.
And how you regurgitate information.
Yeah, yeah. Which methods are best like to retain information. So I thought I was a strictly visual learner, but I only recently found out that I learned best through other methods such as like active recall, because I used to just draw mind maps and I would just rely on those mind maps to like absorb information. And yeah, I didn't do that great in year one. So I tried other methods like listening to recordings of myself speaking while also reading my notes, which really helped me. And I also made like flashcards and attempted like active recall, which also really helped.
Multi-sensory experience.
It is. I am a multi-sensory learner. Maybe I'm a, what's the last one? Kinesthetic learner.
Yeah, kinesthetic.
Maybe I need to like, I don't know, flip a book or something when I flip a book.
Or listen flip to cards, my, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need to bang the gravel. Who knows? I need
bang the grass in the court.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I should try that. Okay, yeah. Yeah, but year one was horrible because I didn't have any work-life balance. I solely relied on seniors' notes. Mm-hmm. I didn't really prepare before coming to class. And class part is a big thing in law school. So if you don't prepare or if you prepare poorly, there's always going to be someone who is more prepared than you and who is going to steal those class part opportunities. And you're going to feel really shit about yourself. And in the next class, you're just going to get continuously discouraged. It's like, it's a collateral effect. It just gets worse and worse if you don't speak. So
speak more in the beginning, speak more at the
end.
Yeah.
So I rarely spoke during class, like in year one, and I was so depressed and angry at myself.
Mm.
I felt just so like stuck because I knew I could speak in the next class, but because in all the previous classes, I already didn't speak and there were other people who were like just so vocal and like proactive, it just intimidated me even more. So yeah, my class part component in my grade probably wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot better this year. This year, I really just don't care. Like one of the biggest things I've taken away from year one is to just not give a shit about anything. Like don't be scared of people judging you in school or in class. If you want to say something, just say it. Don't be scared of them like thinking you're stupid for maybe giving like a less than satisfactory answer. Like you just need to say it and your prof is not going to judge you. Actually, wait, no. Your prof will judge you. It depends on your prof. I've been blessed with amazing profs this year who are so nice and helpful and who are just so willing to correct you in a nice, constructive manner and not put you down, unlike my year one prof, who was such a... Okay, can I curse on this?
Yes, of course.
Who was such a bitch. Like, I literally hated her. She almost made me cry during one of my consults because she was so patronizing, so degrading. And she was like, I was asking her questions and she was like, you didn't need to meet me for consult to ask me this. You could have just like read in a textbook. And I guess fair enough. But I mean, like, why say it like that? You know what I mean? As a prof, why would you say that to a student? It just... Like, we look up to them so much. And to hear them say that, it just makes you feel even more shit about yourself.
Emotional damage.
Actual emotional damage. And I just... After that consult, I legit went to the toilet and I just cried. Yeah.
I'm so sorry you experienced that.
Thank you. Thank you for your sympathy. Yeah, I'm never crying over that kind of shit again. But yeah, this year is just so much better for me because...
You don't have to see that prof again?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you want to name and shame the prof?
No, it's okay. I won't go that far.
Okay.
Damn you, Hillary. Okay, yeah. So this year, I am focusing more on school. School is my priority. School was not a priority in year one. In year one, I was having too much fun. Okay, maybe it wasn't that fun. I just didn't really care that much about school because I thought... I could just like last minute study and like pull through, like, you know, in JC. I was just stuck with that JC mindset.
I see.
But yeah, now I put in very consistent work and like effort and I prepare for all my tutorials. I actually read the cases this time. Ooh. I never read a single case like in year one, which is horrible. Yeah. And I only started reading cases like in year one, sem two, which is when my grades actually started improving.
Ooh.
Yeah. So... Yeah, you know, things are looking up. I feel like I'm more hopeful to doing better in law school. I don't want to kill myself. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm doing a lot less in hall. And yeah, I found the work-life balance. And, you know, I guess it's more work than life. But I guess you got to make small sacrifices if you want to, you know, improve yourself or do better. Yeah.
I got reminded of one of my classes last semester where I was a bit more active compared to like most of my other classes. So here's the thing. I'm active in probably one or two classes each sem that I will be one of the people who speaks the most in class. But the rest, I will just like stay quiet and watch and, you know, just try to absorb. And probably it's just because like I'm interested in some things more rather than other things. So what I'm interested in, I will speak a bit more. So there was this one time actually when I was in the class and then the prof asked us a question. This was kind of a math question or concept question kind of thing. Then I answered. Then the prof just started up said, "You are incorrect."
Ouch. Emotional damage.
Yes. Actually, I didn't get I just said like, yay.
You actually
said
yay.
I just said yay in class. And then I was with my friends some more and then my friends are embarrassed at me.
Wait, that's such a good way to like wave off the embarrassment though. You go, Gio.
Thanks.
Taking it like a champ.
And I got an A+ in that class.
Wow. I didn't
know about my mistake.
What was your prof's reaction when he said yay?
Nothing. He just went on. Fun
okay,
times.
Okay.
Yay.
I'm going to start doing that. If my prof says like, not quite, I'll be like, oh.
Yay.
I
learned, right? Maybe your friends will laugh at you. But it's worth it. Trust me, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's good to laugh at yourself sometimes. That's a really good attitude to have in life. Like,
thanks.
People need to stop taking things so seriously, I feel. Especially in law school. Everyone's so serious.
I mean, isn't that how God works? Isn't God like a very serious thing?
I mean, I guess. But everyone in law school is just so like obsessed with doing well. It's like, they're so fixated and they're so in their own heads about it that... They can't like laugh about anything. They can't joke about anything. It's quite scary. Like if you walk through botanics on the way out of school, right? You know, usually it's a peaceful stroll and you can imagine you'd walk out and they'd like chat with your friends and laugh about things. You should hear some of the conversations I've heard walking out of botanics through the lovely botanic gardens. There was once like, I was just walking out with my friend, you know, we were just catching up, laughing. Mm-hmm. And right beside us, there's a girl going, the effort to reward ratio in law school is horrible. I literally want to kill myself. And she was like lamenting on how horrible law school is and how like stressful it is. And okay, I guess she needed to vent. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Okay, good for her. Let her vent. But she wasn't the only one. I literally sped walk because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to catch her stress. She was emanating a lot of like bad energy. So I just sped walk ahead. Literally the next person who I stood next to, he was complaining about his prof like being too casual or like making too many jokes during the lectures. And he was like, I wish you would just like focus on the content. And I was like, what? Why do these people take themselves so seriously?
Oh, dang.
Like, I don't know.
Wow.
Okay, I feel bad. Law school students are under a lot of pressure, but it's just so sad to hear them talk about it outside of law school. Like, I don't know. You should have your breakdown in law school. Maybe in the toilet. If any law school kids are listening, I have some good places where you can break down. Like beside Coffee Bot, there's the public policy study room. Like this is a nice corner there. You can study. You can like cry. No, study there. You can't study there. You can cry there. Another good place to cry would be maybe in the FOCC room. I mean, okay, not everyone has access to the FOCC room, but that's a really nice place to cry, I think, because it's like hidden behind, there's a table hidden behind shelves. Another good place to cry would be at the stairwell. Not the one like beside the lift lobby, but the one further down the corridor, like at the end of the building. Yeah, another good place to cry is just in Octobox.
Wait. What would you cry in Octobox?
Octobox?
Isn't Octobox that place for retail therapy instead of crying?
Yeah, you can like pick out some ice cream and cry at the same time. And usually fair. Octobox is quite empty. Fair. Another good place to cry would be like when you walk out of the lobby of the main building, right? There's this divider. I don't know, there's some random like partition, wall partition. You can just walk behind it and cry there. It's really nice. Yeah. Yeah, so.
How many of these places have you cried in?
I never cry in law school. I have not cried. Oh, wait, no, I've said the toilet.
Yeah.
The toilet. Yeah, I have cried in the toilet. I've observed these places though. I've considered them. I've kept an inventory of them as potential places to cry if I do have like a massive breakdown.
Damn.
But yeah, so far the only place I've actually cried and tested. Get it? Like try and test it. But
yeah. That's good, bro. That's good.
Wait, I'm actually so smart. Okay.
You are smart. Okay.
The only place I've cried and tested is the bathroom. And it's quite nice to cry there.
Wow.
And when you come out, okay, the mirrors in law school are really nice. The toilet mirrors are really nice. So when you come out, you still look quite pretty after you cry.
Hmm.
It doesn't really distort your face that much. Yeah.
Ooh.
So yeah, have a little cry. Go to Coffee Bot and get a bomb ass coffee. I freaking love Coffee Bot, by the way. It's this machine in law school. I don't know if it's. I don't know if you've ever encountered Coffee Bot. I don't think it's in the other faculties.
I don't think
okay,
it
but
is.
In law school we have this machine that makes a lot of different types of coffees and a lot of like sweet coffees like green tea espresso, matcha latte, hazelnut or caramel lattes. And they're all so good. Literally the best green tea espresso I've had was from the Coffee Bot and it was $3 and it was so good. It's like the only thing that keeps me going in law school. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So
what were we talking about again? I feel like we've gone way off topic. I don't even know.
The question was actually like, how's law school after a year and does it get easier? Okay. But okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. In conclusion, law school is a lot better for me now. Mm-hmm. I mean, wait till I see my grades. I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. So far, I feel like it's going very well. I am very active in class. I love my profs. I love learning. I actually love, even from year one, I love the content. It's just that I was never studying the right way in year one. So that mm-hmm. made me like not enjoy law school a lot. I enjoyed what I was learning, but I just couldn't enjoy it to its full potential because I was a horrible student.
Hmm.
But yeah, I've ironed my priorities out and I think I have my shit together. So
ooh,
yeah.
Nice, nice. Mm. And of course, come prepared to law school so you know where to cry.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to cry at those places because year two is going to be better. So I'm aiming for absolutely zero mental breakdowns this year.
And zero grades below B.
Exactly.
Let's
zero
go.
Zero grades below B. It's woo. Only B plus and above.
Let's go.
And manifest, manifest.
SU, you're B plus. Let's go.
I can't SU in law school. That's the shittiest thing about law school, that you can't SU anything.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that's, I guess that's also why all the law students are breaking down, because everything counts.
You cannot SU.
Uni is really tough for law.
Mm.
It is, it is. It's tough. There's no pass fail. Everything is counted. Like, it's, I feel like, okay, in my humble opinion, it is worse than dentistry or medicine. Okay. Because all you need to do is cram the content and pass. I'm probably oversimplifying it too much. I'm pretty sure med and dent students have their own struggles, but I would just like to say that law school is hard. We can't SU anything. Nothing is pass fail. Everything has a grade. And the law students are also judgmental about your grades.
I mean, considering that this is the school where people go to become judges.
That's true. That is true. That makes a lot of sense to you. Everyone is judgmental. Okay, no. Okay, that's also another overgeneralization. Okay, I don't know. I swear, there are good people in law school. I have solid friends in law school who I think are amazing people. But just as many good people, I have met a lot of really shitty people who I do not want to meet in future practice again or work with. So yeah, it's not a very fun environment when the people, the grading system, are all
just mental.
Just mental. Oh, judgmental. Judgmental, and they are just mental. The ill. I don't even know what I'm saying at this point, Gio. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's okay.
Yeah.
See, as long as you can convince our listeners that law school is like that, then you've won today.
I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, Jules, this is your practice for your future mood. If you can convince our listeners to go to law school or to not go to law school, you're becoming a good lawyer.
I would not recommend law school to just anyone. It takes a certain type of person to actually enjoy law school. Like, I've seen so many people who are absolutely burnt out and who hate law school because it just doesn't suit them. It doesn't suit who they are as a person.
Mm.
It's not compatible with like their work attitude.
Mm.
Because as a law student, you cannot be jaded easily. You cannot give up easily. It really takes a lot of tenacity and grit.
Mm.
And it takes someone who enjoys learning because the content is extremely dry. So if you're someone who hates reading, don't come to law school. Actually, okay, if you don't like reading long things, you can still read like seniors' notes. But ultimately, you still have to do a great deal of reading and just, you need to absorb a lot of content. So the biggest, another big change from year one to year two is that I started enjoying the process of learning a lot more.
Ooh.
Like I prepared for class and I realized that it's like a self-driven process. Like you put in more effort to prepare for classes and you enjoy the class. And once you start enjoying the class, you start to put in even more effort. And when you put in more effort and you like follow along in class, right, you enjoy even more. So to get the ball rolling, you really just have to put in consistent effort into school. So when you don't have that, you're not going to enjoy classes because you're going to be lost most of the time. You're going to be intimidated and annoyed by all of the class part sluts around you. So yeah, I guess it also takes someone who enjoys listening to different perspectives, who is open and receptive towards hearing other people's opinions, and someone who's proactive in like discussions as well, someone who likes to contribute the ideas, that type of person would be suitable for law school. If you're someone who refuses to speak in class, right, you're too shy, you absolutely refuse to speak or even make an effort, then law school might not be it for you. Yeah.
Come to engineering. You don't have to speak to anyone. No. For legal reasons, that's a joke. Anyway, so thank you for the very lengthy sharing about law.
No problem.
Let's move on to another topic, which is your singing experience.
Oh, man. So, I don't know which one's worse, my law school experience or singing experience. Okay. Sure. Throw it at me.
Okay, so you're currently singing in bands, right? So why do you sing in bands instead of other settings?
Okay, I mean, the first band I ever played in was Yusuf Band Retro Jello, the one me and Gio are in. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Honestly, at first, I didn't plan to audition for band. I just wanted to go to support my other friend who wanted to audition. He wanted to like sing and play the guitar. And I was just going after him like to support him actually. And I mean, he knew I sang because like me and my friend, we used to do like covers together.
Oh.
Yeah. But he didn't get in and then I got in.
Oh no.
So yeah, that's how I ended up in band. I actually wanted to just join Aka. But then Anya asked me to try for band, I think. Was it Anya? I think so. So, actually, no, I don't think Anya asked me. My friend asked me to try out for Ben.
Oh, like the friend who auditioned?
Yeah, the friend who auditioned. Oh. So, here I am.
I see. So, do you have any experience in singing before you actually joined your soft band?
No, I was a pure shower singer. I cannot read music sheets for my life. Like, we recently had a vocal camp, right? And they made us like sing some choir piece. They gave us like the music sheet. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I was just listening to Val and I was trying to like follow her, but it was so bad. I wish I could read though. Gio, maybe you should teach me sometime. But yeah, I have zero like technical music knowledge.
So it's just singing for fun lah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I remember when I used to join Yusuf Choir, not all of the people can read the music sheet. So I think it was Joel, the choir head at that time, who just like sang all the parts and then had us all like follow him. I think that's how it works. And yeah, regarding teaching you like how to read music, I don't think I'm a good teacher. You should ask Joel. Joel is a good teacher. I will tell you that.
All right. Joel, if you're listening, teach me.
Yeah, Joel. And Joel, if you're listening, shout out to you. I like how you teach.
Yeah, shout out to you, Joel. You're amazing.
Yes, you are.
Mwah. Okay,
so how was your experience like in Retro Jello?
It was amazing. Like, I love everyone in Retro Jello. Ooh. I think we were so lucky to have each other as band members. Like, I mean, I don't know, because you've been in previous bands, right? So I can't...
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience with other bands was, but I really loved like our band dynamic. I think everyone got along really well. Like you, me, Adam, Celine, JC and Jacob. Like, yeah, it was just really fun. And yeah, it was just fun lah. Honestly, I don't know what the heck we're doing in band most of the time. It's really just people who enjoy music coming together and just vibing. Yeah, band is my favorite CCA in hall.
Ooh,
it really
same,
is.
Same.
Yeah. Wait, is band your only CCA? No, right? You're on audio, so.
No, I'm in audio, but band is my favorite CCA. And that's why I've done band my entire time in Yusuf. But anyway, I also want to give a shout out to all my bandmates in Retro Jello. So just again, Jules, Adam, Celine, JC and Jacob. I enjoy playing with you all and you are so damn good. So please don't doubt yourself, okay? You are good. You are damn good.
You too, Gio. You are literally the most talented keyboardist I've ever met. I mean, I haven't met a lot of keyboardists.
Now, it's time to meet other keyboardists. It's time to go to Yong Siu Tour and then watch their free concerts. You will confirm meet other better keyboardists.
No, I don't think I would. I mean, you're incredible. You're really incredible, Gio. You're just insane. Your talent is immeasurable.
Thanks, yeah. It's worth, but no, you.
Please. Anyone can sing. I feel most of the time...
I can't.
I feel like if you try, you could, Gio. You know, I don't know if it's just me, but as a vocalist, I feel so dispensable. Like, not a lot of people can play the guitar. It's a very... Actually, okay, wait.
Huh?
Okay. Not a lot of people can play the guitar or like a musical instrument well enough to be in band. But it's quite easy to be able to sing and just, I don't know, get accepted. I don't know, like... It's just your voice. Like, you don't need any skill to be able to sing. I mean, if you have it, you have it.
You don't need skill to sing. What do you mean? I think you're just like so naturally talented that you don't even know that you need a skill to sing.
No. You see, that's the thing. Like, if you're... Okay, I don't want to sound... I'm not saying that I'm like a naturally gifted singer. But if you are a naturally gifted singer, you already have it. It's not as impressive as someone who like works hard and plays the guitar for like 5 years and they come from like nothing and become this amazing guitar player. Like, I think it's just so cool when someone is like committed to an instrument and they become so good after a while. Yeah, and you need like technical skills to play the guitar. When you sing, you just need to like, it's all by feeling, which I don't think is as cool as being able to like know chords or know like, I don't know, Jeremy keeps saying like root notes.
Oh,
and then yeah. he keeps mansplaining to me. I'm just kidding, Jeremy. Yeah, he keeps like, I don't know, explaining to me all these technical terms about the bass. But like, and I'm always so impressed. I'm like, wow, how did he learn that? Did he learn it himself? And I think he does. I think he learned it all by himself, which is even more impressive.
Ooh.
Like, I just sing and like the voice comes out of my mouth. It's not impressive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think being a singer is a bit lame. I wish I was an instrumentalist, but I enjoy singing. And also, I don't need to prepare that much before gigs. I just need to be able to read. I need to be literate to be a singer. So it's not
like
cool.
A lawyer.
Yeah, it's not cool. The only skill I need is to be literate and to be able to follow a beat, which sometimes I can't even do.
And to hit the note lah.
I guess, but like,
I don't know in the right way. Isn't that how in the entirety of music works? You have to do something in the correct way in order to have a good sound, right?
And how
some of you achieved it by just being a shower singer. So there's that.
Yeah.
You are naturally gifted. Please don't doubt yourself.
I'm
Zeus.
Not
damn
naturally
it.
Gifted.
You are.
I've just had a lot of shower gigs to practice before.
Yeah, and experience. You're naturally gifted and experienced.
Yeah. I guess I am experienced. Ooh. In a sense. Yeah. But I would love to be able to play the bass.
Oh.
I would honestly, of the drums. The drums are so cool. Celine is so cool. Celine is so hot when she plays the drums. Okay, I know Celine's not going to listen to this, but
are
actually,
sure?
Who knows? I don't know.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Why don't you just say to Celine, hey Celine, I just released a podcast with Gio. Please listen to it. Thank you very much. That works, right?
Okay, but yeah, Celine's freaking hot when she plays the drums. She knows it. Yeah, but... I don't know. It takes a lot of practice. And at the moment, I don't have that much time to put into practicing an instrument. Although I am trying to get better at the acoustic guitar. Like, ooh. I generally am trying. Yeah. I've known how to play the guitar, like, pretty basic chords for a long time. But I've never practiced consistently enough that I've been good enough to, I don't know, like, audition to band with the guitar. Like, I can't play by ear either.
But at least you can perform in bash with your guitar.
I guess, but that was a really like basic performance.
But it works lah.
Yeah.
If it works, it works.
It works, it works.
See, the good thing about music, in my opinion, is that you don't have to know a lot of things. You just have to know enough things to get by in whatever you do lah.
I guess so. But I want to be good at it. You know, every time I do something or I pick up a new skill, I want to be either exceptional at it or I just don't want to do it. You know that feeling?
Perfectionism.
Yeah, perfection. That's the word. I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
Understandable. I used to be like that too at one point.
Right? It's not a healthy mindset though. Like,
I mean,
I get so quickly discouraged, which is not good because then you just stop practicing, but you can't be good at it if you don't practice. Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing. You need a lot of practice to be good, but yeah. Do you really want to see yourself not being good first, or do you want to instantly jump to being good, right? So
yeah, that you can't do that.
You cannot fast forward.
You can't fast forward.
Yeah.
Amen. But yeah.
So practice 40 hours a day, guys.
40 hours a day? You don't even have 40 hours in a day.
Some people do.
I don't know what kind of timeline you're living on, Gio, but I barely have 24. I barely have 12.
What's your 12 hours spent on?
It's either spent studying or spent, like, you know, having my existential crises. There's not a lot of hours left to enjoy life.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I hope you get better.
Thanks, Gio.
I really
thanks.
Hope you do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so do you think that you've learned like something by being in a band as opposed to being a shower singer?
Yes, definitely. Like, I realized that to sound good for certain songs is very different from... Okay, it's very different from shower singing because, I mean, you just have your voice and the echo in my shower is pretty nice. So most of the time, I think I sound pretty great in the shower. So I don't really care about the technicalities. I don't care if I'm using the proper breath work. I don't care if I'm mouthing the words correctly. But when you're in a whole band setting, there's a certain vibe. You know, the music carries a vibe. It's not your own solo performance anymore. You have to sing in a way that makes everyone sound good together. You can't just... Yeah, it's not a solo project anymore. You really have to focus on the technicalities. Like, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on how to sing in certain ways, like how to mouth certain words during performances.
I see.
How to set your posture right when you're singing.
Oh.
Yeah. And the most annoying thing about singing in a band is, for me personally, is just following. It sounds so stupid. But knowing when to come in, like the cues on coming in, like at the right time. Because I was so used to just like coming in as and when, like transitioning from one verse to the next as and when I wanted to.
Yeah,
when I
was, especially if you're a solo singer, you can just do that.
Yeah, but it's so annoying when like, especially songs that are so like inconsistent, they don't follow like certain bars before they transition to the next verse. Then I have to like remember.
Right, to transition.
Yeah.
Do you have an example?
Like there's one, oh my god, I'm preparing like one song for tonight's band practice. I think it's it was Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Oh.
I don't know, I find it so annoying having to like listen to the bars and like the tempo and then having to follow it. Oh, there was one song that me and Jeremy did for our acoustic performance, which I could never come in at the correct time. I think it was Cherry Wine. I think Jeremy was so fed up with me like after a while because I kept coming in at the wrong time. But yeah, I don't know. It was just difficult for me. No matter how many times I listened to it. I always thought I got it right, but he would always just like shake his head at me and then I'd be like, fuck, I didn't make it. Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I might need to like write it out, honestly, on like a piece of paper.
I think that's a good way. Yeah, sometimes even when I play keys, if something is a bit irregular, it takes time for me to actually get it right.
Yeah.
But I don't write I only like write chords and sounds to use, but rhythm I just like try to get it too hard and then I will forget again the next practice and then I'll get it too hard again and then I'll forget again until one day it clicked and I remember. So
That's great.
It's great, man. Instead of like actually trying to write it and see it and refer to it every time you
It's good when something becomes like subconscious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, muscle. Your brain's a muscle. You gotta flex it. You gotta flex it.
Muscle memory.
But aside from that, being in a band is way better than solo performing. It's just an amazing experience when you get to go on stage with your band. And there's a whole crowd that you get to like vibe with. And Yeah, honestly, the crowd carries the energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
And I think your bandmates too, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Of course.
See?
So, yeah, I've loved every gig we've done. It's always a core memory for me. I love it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear. Mm. So, now you're in a new band, right? Called Remy and the Reds.
Yes.
So, how is that band like?
Okay, so the only person who is still in my new band, like from my old band, is Jacob. And I mean, I performed with Jeremy like before at a cafe, and then we've done like just acoustic gigs together at Farm Quinn. So yeah, the new people I've sort of gotten to work with in my new band, R&R, are like Luke, Nick, and Chloe. And they're all amazing musicians as well.
Mm.
So the dynamic definitely is a bit different from Retro Cello.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like we had a really chaotic dynamic. Really chaotic dynamic in Retro Cello.
Oh.
Maybe it was... Okay, no, it wasn't just one particular person. Like, not just... I was going to say JC, but I think it was all of us. All of us were a bit, like, crazy during prex. Yeah, I missed that a lot. Mm. My new band is just a different dynamic. We are
not as crazy.
No. But we progress quite fast, I would say, because we don't procrastinate or like waste time as much. We actually get to do a lot of songs pretty quickly. Like,
ooh.
I think in our first two pracs, we managed to try like 6 songs. Wow. Which was like the number of songs we did over couple pranks for Retro Jello.
No, yeah, like,
okay, but no, it's
1.5 time, I think.
Maybe, but that was because like we were preparing for that one music video we filmed for so long.
Yeah.
Feeling good, yeah.
Yeah, because like we keep on procrastinating. So, I mean, they keep on like moving the goalposts away because COVID.
So it's difficult to compare because like we've had practices during different, you know, circumstances. So yeah, it's a different dynamic, but I love them all the same. Like, yeah, I love the people in my new band too. Jeremy, Jacob, Chloe, Luke, Nick. It's still really fun. They're all such ratty people.
So, is that why your band name is Remy and
the Rats? Yeah, Remy and the Rats.
So, who is the Remy in your band?
Remy is Jeremy.
Why? Why is Jeremy?
It's in his name, Remy. Jeremy.
Right.
Did you just realize, Gio?
Oh, shit.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no. I'm not as smart.
Keep up, so, Gio. Keep up.
I need to get good. My brain cells are lost already because of studying.
Okay. And understandable, dying. Understandable.
Okay, so what are your favorite genres or musicians that you're listening to a lot right now?
Wow, okay. This is always a difficult question for me. The worst part about me trying to explain music I like is that I cannot remember the names of songs. Like, my new band will know this. I cannot remember the name of any song that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I genuinely am like listening to it on repeat, then I'll know. But like, I'm really bad with names. In general, I'm actually just really bad with pronouns. And nouns. And actually, yeah, pronouns and nouns. I'm just so bad with remembering names of things.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What about the name of your members?
Okay, that one I know. But like, okay, I need to confess something. During football, right? Okay, so in football, there are so many girls whose names have X and Y in them. So there's like Xin Yun, Yu Ting, Yu Sing, Yu Sing, Sing Sing. I don't know. There are so many names like that. And I'm so bad with Chinese names. Okay, I'm not bad with Chinese names. It's just that all their names overlap a bit. So we were playing like a small friendly match among ourselves. And there was I cannot even remember her name now. There was Xu Ying was there. And Yun Xin was there. I can't remember. But I gave up halfway. I got so frustrated, right? I just started calling her by... I called her by the name Nexus because she was wearing the Nexus shirt. So I'll be like, Nexus, pass the ball. Yeah, I felt so bad. But I genuinely just could not remember. I could not distinguish their names. So YQ. YQ. Yeah, Yu Ting. Okay. Yeah, she told me to call her by YQ. So I think... I think it's YQ. You think? Oh. Okay, I'm not even going to try. Basically, right, the essence of that embarrassing... I'm basically just really bad with names. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I really went off tangent there. Okay, so back to my favorite genre of music. Right now, I'm listening to a lot of R&B. I cannot stop listening to Death in Texas by Daniel Caesar. That is so good. Luke introduced me to that song. And I cannot stop listening to it. Like, literally on the way back to Yusuf, I had it on repeat. I think I listened to it to a solid, like, 9 times before I reached
So that's what you listened to before coming into this room.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. I just love R&B. Like, I love it, especially when there's like a really good guitar, really like nice heavy bass. That's so hot.
I see.
Yeah, or like, I love soul singers like Givian.
Ooh.
I love people with really nice, deep, soulful voices. I think it's just so pleasant to the ears. Like, okay, yeah, I like indie rock as well.
Indie rock. Cool.
I love Coin.
Coin. Oh.
I love Beach Weather.
Beach Weather.
Beach Weather. Like, they have like Chit Chat, Sex, Drugs, etc.
Yeah, I think I need to
listen to it. Yeah, yeah, they're amazing. I recently listened to Foals. I think it's quite an old indie rock band. Foals. And like,
their song Twin. Oh,
you know, right?
Yeah, I know Foals.
Yeah, I was at a thrift store and then like, the cashier was commenting on my headphones and then I told him, yeah, they're great. Then we started talking about music and he was like, oh yeah, me and my band, we used to play like songs from Foals because I told him that I was also in a band.
Ooh.
Yeah. So interesting conversations in a thrift store.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, I thought that band was pretty sick too. Yeah, but ultimately I really just love R&B. I love music that's really gentle and like full and has like a lot of like lull and weight to it. Yeah.
I see. So do you enjoy like the older R&B artists too, like Earth, Wind and Fire, let's say?
Okay, I have not heard of Earth, Wind and Fire.
Oh yeah.
I don't actively go and like search genres, like music in specific genres if I do enjoy it. Like, if I enjoy, I enjoy the song itself. So I like listening to like Sabrina Claudio.
Oh,
Frozen.
Oh, Frozen. Oh.
Frozen. I feel like she's the female version of Daniel Caesar. You guys should check her out. She's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I know her.
Yeah, she's so, I love it.
Like
Orion's Belt. Yeah.
Orion's Belt. Oh.
She's really good. But yeah, honestly, I'm not that much of a music junkie.
Understandable.
Yeah. It's just if I happen to hear it and I like it, I just take note of it. But yeah.
I see. So, now that you've been singing in the band for like some time, what skills do you think are important to learn as a singer in the band setting?
As a singer, okay. You need to be flexible and you have to be prepared to sing songs that you don't necessarily like. But you just have no choice because...
All your bandmates like it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part of any like group project or teamwork. You know, you can't always... Just because you're the vocalist doesn't mean you get to perform all the songs that suit your voice or songs that you like. You gotta have a bit of compromise. Yeah, but I think to be a good vocalist, you gotta be flexible. I mean, it's hard for some people who have really niche voices and these voices could be absolutely amazing for a specific genre of songs. But I think it's good to be flexible, which I hope or I at least try to be during band. Like, that's why I'm trying to work on like more technical skills when I sing because that can really affect the way the song sounds when I sing it. So that's why I say that, you know, singing is a skill in itself, like an inherent skill in itself. But whether something sounds good with the band, you have to have technique. You need to be conscious of how you're singing it. You got to be conscious of the way your mouth forms the words, the shape of the words, how it rolls off your tongue is very important. So that's something I've learned to be more attentive to, like being able to sound more like the artist, like in the original songs. Like, of course, I'm not always trying to replicate the original artist singing, but I try my best to replicate like the way the song is meant to be conveyed, you know? And sometimes to do that, you need to sing it in a specific way. So yeah, that's, yeah, I would say that's important. Being conscious of
how you sing.
Yeah, how you sing. Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting. I remember also getting this kind of feedback from literally every vocalist that I've ever asked feedback from.
Oh,
okay. I mean, like, I asked Lei Chun and Anya at different points in time. If you want to listen to how it goes, please listen to season 1, episode 3 of this podcast. Thank you very much. And when I was in choir, actually, like, I also got some guidance from people. I think Joel, the choir head, again, yeah, he said that, let's say you're singing in a choir and you cannot do like the sound like the in think. You just say think, like F, like think, yeah, something like that. So that's like the hack way. And sometimes you say the word hair, like the thing that goes on top of your head, that thing. You say hair, I mean, like, that's what I say. But sometimes when you're singing, you don't want to roll the R's, for instance, so you just say hair. But if you say that, it's not going to sound very good in the group setting. So it's just approximate the vowel sound as air, so hair. So it went from hair to hair. Vocals.
Vocals. But
okay. Anyway, so I've also heard that you are interested in ASMR too.
Yes, I love listening to ASMR. There's this girl who does ASMR singing. I don't know if you know her.
Alana Castillo?
Yeah,
Alana Castillo. Yeah, I've heard of her. I don't know what she does, though. I just know that she exists.
I think she did a lot of like ASMR singing covers the past. And they're so...
I will check that out eventually.
Okay.
Hey, did you watch Billie Eilish?
I did.
How was it?
It was so good.
Oh, how much did you spend on those tickets?
I spent $300.
Oh wow, that's a huge amount. Was it worth it?
No. Honestly, right? For the length of the concert, her performance was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I expected it to be longer. She came to stage late. And the fact that my waiting experience, okay, I guess I can't blame her for the waiting experience, but my queuing and waiting experience before even getting into the concert hall was horrible. It was horrible. Like, her fans are vicious. They're all preteens, right? They're all such mean preteens. Okay, so, like, I was queuing, okay, for back check. And there was no, like, formal queue that was like outlined, you know. They didn't like set any proper like boundaries as to where you could queue.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was just queuing in a snake form, like in a implied like twisty queue. But yeah, people were arguing with each other about cutting. I think some girls even got into like a physical fight after we passed back check.
Damn.
It was quite funny. But it was also pretty sad.
Found it kind of funny, but found it pretty sad.
Yeah. Oh, this sounds like a nice lyric.
Yes, yeah.
It sounds like a 21 Pilots lyric. I found it really funny, but I found...
I think it's a lyric by someone named Jules. Is it? You know what?
Is it?
It is, right?
Is it? Perhaps. In our upcoming song... just kidding. But yeah, I don't think it was worth it. I would not pay $300 again for any concert. I've learned my lesson. It was a great experience, but I'm sorry, Billy. I'm never paying that much money for a concert again. It's $300 I can't get back. Wait, no way. Wait, no way. Oh my God, wait. Wait, yeah, that's why it sounds... Oh my God.
So yeah. That's all from me. Thank you for listening to my new podcast. And, well, I'm supposed to say we'll see you again in my new podcast episode, right? But this time I'm going to pass this mic to someone that we both know. And that person is also a member of Reto Zero. So this is Adam.
Yay, yay.
Yay. Wait, what to me?
Okay. All right. So Jules actually asked me a very interesting question before I'm here speaking to this mic lah. Just asked me who was my least favorite member of not retro, just band, you know, it's all band.
Juicy. All on Retro Jello. Maybe you can give us both.
No, Retro Jello. I love everybody in Retro Jello. Not sure whether they love me as much though. I'm kidding. So like, So Jules asked me a juicy question lah. Wait, who do I dislike the most in Yusof band? I'm not gonna name names, but like just gonna say that this person isn't in band anymore, isn't in Yusof anymore lah. Okay. But like so this person was from my band last time. Okay. And like I think some of my close friends know about this in my initial band. I think my first year band, but like, yeah. So I think he left Yusof and he was initially like in my band. And like one day I saw him in U Town. I wanted to say hi to him, open the door for him. He was going into the one of the seminar rooms in U Town, and like I was like, hey yo bro, what's up? How are you? And like he completely ignored me lah. So like at first I was like, hey, I was very chill with him. And I was like, hey shit, how come like this guy, like didn't give a shit about me anymore. Like I kind of really thought of him as a friend lah. I don't dislike him. Maybe he had like things are going on and busy and stuff like that. But like, yeah, I think I just like in general, I think people need to be more friendly, you know, like no matter what, know each other, even though we are not like seeing each other on a daily basis, you know, like sometimes saying hi and bye is like, hey, what's up? How are you? You know, like makes a person's day lah, you know. Yeah, so so to answer Jules' question, right, okay, like, it isn't somebody that I dislike, lah, but it was just that action that, like, made me feel like, you know, I utterly hate this guy. No, like, I'm kidding, I don't hate this guy.
It was just not a pleasant encounter.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant encounter.
You don't like being treated as invisible.
No one does. And nobody is invisible in this world, you know.
You matter.
Every life matters. Yeah. So on the next podcast, I think Jules was suggesting that we are going to talk about what are you talking about again, Jules? What Singaporean? What?
How close-minded Singaporeans are.
Ooh.
You know, it's a little like in the box, out of the box type of discussion. Because we are the close-minded Singaporeans also.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Actually, that is an interesting thought to think, ponder about, man. Like, maybe we are the ones that are close-minded, you know. We keep on thinking of how Singaporeans are close-minded, but we are Singaporeans, and maybe we are the ones that are close-minded to think that Singaporeans are close-minded, you know. Imagine that. It's kind of interesting, you know. Not sure when this will happen. Okay, depends on whether Gio is going to invite Jules back in this, and she will definitely lead the discussion, being the close-minded Singaporean she is. No, I'm kidding.
Excuse me. Full of shit.
All right.
I'm super open-minded. That's good, actually. Like, to have close-minded.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Do you have anyone in mind, Gio?
No, no matter how
close-minded or open-minded you are, I'll invite you to this podcast because I believe you deserve to hear from people, no matter how close-minded or open-minded they are, or no matter how whatever they are.
Yeah, your wise words from Gio. Yeah, definitely. I think, we need to know the point of views from everybody, every single person, every single soul out there. Mm. Yeah. So, if you want to, you can tune in to, I don't know, what episode, maybe episode like 150 or something, when we do our next podcast on this topic. Yeah. Is that all from me?
Signing out.
I mean, do you want to?
Alright, so being in part of Yusof band as well, yeah, being part of Jules' band, Retro Jellos, was one of the best experiences I've ever been through. And yeah, everybody in band has been like pretty solid. And really, really is like one of the most wonderful experiences in youth so far for me.
Wait, I have another question for you, Adam.
What's up?
Who is someone in band you appreciate a lot? Or someone you just want to like express your... express...
I think the previous band here, you know?
Really, man? I think...
Oh, I thought you meant someone who I didn't want to express. Oh, yeah. Then that's the previous band here. But someone I want to express.
Okay, that makes more sense. I'm just kidding.
This better not go on live. Jeremy's gonna be pissed off. Okay, the joke is Jeremy just came into the room last, so okay. This is a tough question, okay? If you guys want to know the answer, make sure Joe invites me back to the next podcast.
I will eventually. It's just when the question is
tough question. It's a long pondering. Yeah. Everybody's amazing. So, yeah. Okay. How about you, Jules? Like, who's your... Since you asked the question, right? It must be very easy for you to answer.
Well, it's actually a very difficult question for me to answer because I love everybody.
Wow.
But if had the off my head, name one person... It would be you, Adam.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm just going to express it now because it's just weird if I... All right. I think you're an amazing partner vocalist in Retro Jello. Wow. And we vibe damn well. I low-key miss having you as my partner vocalist.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Jules.
Yeah. I think we vibe pretty well. And actually, I'm excited for us to perform at DP again together.
That's true. Oh my God. Actually, now that you mentioned it, really, really... Actually, that's true though. Yeah, every time. Now I'm obliged to say it's you, Sir Jules.
No, don't feel obliged. It needs to come from the heart. Tell me you appreciate me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, Jules.
Okay, thank you.
How amazing you've been as a partner to me. In band. Okay, partner to me in our band.
Yes. Yeah.
This is going too far. Yeah. Okay, tune in next time for...
What's your outro music sound like, Gio?
There's no outro music.
Okay, me and... whenever you're ready to close this podcast, say thank you for listening to my new podcast. And see you all again in my new podcast episode.
Episode. Oh, no, it's just ending. So, just okay. Thank you for listening to my new podcast.
And see you
whenever you're ready to close this podcast. Say, quoted Joe, thank you for listening to my new podcast. And see you all again in my newer podcast episode. See you. That's all.
Okay. I thought that was longer than the actual podcast.
Yeah. Can I just say this is one of the longest things I've ever recorded in a podcast?
It's gonna be a lot of editing for you.